even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 641, A Spiral.
You're not wrong.
From A Book of Saw.
Yeah.
No? What?
Is that the subtitle?
The title's so stupid.
The title's really stupid.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I think they appended it.
I think they realized nobody knew what the hell this movie was if they didn't put the word Saw in there somewhere.
You'd think that stupid puppet would give it away.
From the Book of Saw.
Well, hang on. We have a guest we haven't introduced yet. So he's sitting there like, do I get to talk? Do I not get to talk?
He has a lot of thoughts. We may not even get into the episode.
So let's do our introductions.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And joining us from the titular Matt F. Bassler podcast. I can't talk today. It's Matt Bassler. Hey.
Hey. I just watched 9 Saw movies in
six days.
You watched all of
you
them.
You did not watch
I watched
all.
Every single
in,
Saw movie.
In order?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Oh, good sir. He thought he was really prepared.
I know. I was like, I think you've really overestimated the importance of this podcast.
Well, I have I like to watch things in order.
Right.
And I was missing some Saws. What? I'm not going to jump in on Spiral.
From the Book of Saw.
Spiral from the Book of Saw. Without knowing what's been going on, what's old Jig been up to.
Yeah. Here's the difference in our commitment. I've never seen a Saw movie.
So you had no idea what was going on?
No, I mean, I think I knew enough to understand that it was really a movie.
Nope, you're right.
Well, yeah. See, because then...
Let's listen to the scholar here. Where's one man who knows all the Saw movies?
I thought, I've done such a good job here. I've done my homework. And then I feel like really the only connection was, the other guy?
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, like him.
Yeah, you literally watched 8 Saw movies for them to go, is this a Jigsaw copycat?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, all right. Caught up. But you're like, damn, if I don't know who Jigsaw is, I got that reference.
There was a picture of Tobin Bell, I guess.
Wait, in the movie there was?
You wouldn't have caught it.
Yeah. I'm
sorry. He's a Saw expert now.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did not. I have seen all of them.
See, Joe is threatened right now because he's
a little bit.
He's our horror movie expert.
If you want to talk about 1 and 2, all day.
When you just came in like hot.
If it takes the heat off of me, I always appreciate.
And I'm just hoping now that
Matt takes my spot
that he secretly knows a lot about wrestling. And then,
is that true?
Hey, if I got to do one, I guess I'll watch all of wrestling to catch up.
Last six challenge, days, challenge I watched accepted. All of wrestling.
I mean, I watched it at 1.5 times speed.
Sure, yeah,
I
mean, right.
But
right.
I got it all
without the audio.
Yeah,
I know you got to have the audio. What are you doing?
So before we get to the movie, we should do shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeart, TuneIn. Wherever you find a podcast, you should theoretically be able to find us. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. The group is called the League of Show Sharers because we're hoping you will do such a thing. And people who were kind enough to share an episode this week, Pat Andy, Chris Valls, Julianne Jordan, Brent Smith, Gabriel Lugo, Travis Tewitt, Ralph Tribble, Chris Williams, Chris Sanders, Chris Magic Man.
The trifecta.
Oh, no, because we already did Chris Falls.
Well, you still mentioned the trifecta. Okay. Chris Falls has to coordinate better.
Yeah, come on, Falls. Get it together.
Get some balls
share
and do
it later,
it.
Will you?
Because he's never heard that joke his entire life.
I'm happy to help.
Heather Sachs. And then moving over to the Twitterverse, Binge Movies Podcast, The Movie Journey, Mike and Oscar, Colby Mack, Matt Naglia, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, Kathia Woods, Piecing Together Podcast, Ronnie Castle, We Have a Hulk, Geek to Me Radio, In Session Film, Invasion of the Remake, and Feelin' Film. So thank you very much for doing that. And then don't forget, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content. You help us out, and when our headphones don't work, we can buy new ones.
Or yeah. If we figure out what audio output yes. they go into.
So there's all of that. Let's dig in, shall we?
So.
Oh, no, I wanted to hear from Matt.
Well, actually. Matt, by all means.
He's our resident Saw expert.
I don't know. I'm so. Look, to me, I thought this was pretty good, man. I don't know if you guys saw Jigsaw or.
Which way? Is that the last one?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So what you're saying is relative to the other Saw movies, this is pretty good.
I think 1 and 2 are really good.
1 and 2 happened a long time ago.
Yeah, that is true.
Monday.
That's
yeah. that I saw 1 and 2.
That's the past.
Is it 2005? Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And that's that's James Wan and Lee Whannell, mm-hmm. who obviously are now Matt, like Lee Whannell is pretty much taking over the Universal Monster
director
stuff.
Of The Invisible Man.
Yeah, yeah, he's kind of taking charge of that. Now James Wan, who is A-list director at this point,
yeah,
get their start here, and I think 1 and 2 are a pretty damn good 1-2 punch.
I remember 1 being great. I haven't seen it since
one
theaters,
is fantastic.
But 1 was
1 and 2. That's where I'd say go ahead and stop.
Right,
but you're fine.
Do they keep trying to like retcon themselves? Is it a constant retcon?
They're not even sequels. They just happen at the same time. But you don't know it when you're watching it.
Oh, so Jigsaw's killing other people you didn't see in those first two movies.
And hey, I don't know if I'm supposed to spoil Jigsaw here, too.
Please.
Please.
Jigsaw is taking place before the first movie.
Oh, it's a prequel?
Oh, really?
You don't know it. You think it's not.
At the end,
but
until
the end,
he puts
start,
on the mask.
They start going, bum, 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 bum. That's Hello, Zep. That's the name of the theme song from Saw.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God. This is the most show prep we've ever had.
Well,
right. I remember when we used to do this, I'd come in with printouts, and yeah.
When I'm starting the next one, I'm pulling up the IMDb trivia for the last one.
Yeah.
So, yes, 1 and 2 are great. Bad actors, real bad actors in a way that I didn't remember, which was like a
Lee Whannell. Lee Whannell's in the first one.
He's not good.
No, he's not good.
Carrie Ewells
is.
He's great.
Yeah.
Which makes old Lee look a lot worse.
Oh, poor Lee.
So they kind of kept that dichotomy with Samuel L. Jackson and Chris Rock in this one.
Ooh. No, because they're both bad.
Samuel
L. Jackson.
Chris.
I love Chris Rock. I did not like him in this movie
really?
At all. Yeah.
I just.
One of the worst performances
when he's,
I've
when
seen
he's,
in a long
when
time.
He's allowed to do. His thing,
aka the first 5 minutes,
and
of the movie.
Be Chris Rock. I was like, okay,
but then the first 5 minutes felt weird to me.
It felt weird, but it was more like, oh, I see. He gets to be Chris Rock in a Saw movie because
right.
he's making those jokes, but he's undercover playing a character. So he went undercover as Chris Rock
right.
in a movie that's supposed to star Chris Rock, but he's only undercover for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So
I might be. I thought he was such a bizarre. Person,
yes.
character. So all of his like line delivery was like weird.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
And I was like, I liked it. This is cool.
Okay, at least we can agree, though. You liked the weirdness.
I felt
of
like it.
It
was a choice.
Oh.
Now I'm realizing, it's probably just he wasn't not doing that great.
So Tom and I talked a little bit before the show, you know, a couple days ago, and we think it was a choice to try to be as not Chris Rock
as
possible.
Yeah, like we feel like he was trying to be like, I don't want to, like, I'm trying to show my range, and so I'm going to not Chris Rock up the joint.
So he tried so hard that it just didn't.
Because there were lines of dialogue that he delivered that were, like, legit funny lines that I felt like he was, like, choking back the delivery.
I completely agree.
Because he didn't want to, like, just get accused of being Chris Rock in a Saw movie.
Right.
And which I get, but I think it also ended up doing the film a disservice. Yeah. It's a weird choice.
This is a weird movie.
Has anybody seen him in Fargo?
No.
I haven't. Because I've
heard... It's really good. I'm just curious what that performance is like.
A lot of the critiques that I've seen are like, this is so weird given he's so good in Fargo. Like,
they say
that him doing the, like, you know, against type casting in Fargo, he's actually really good in it.
Yeah.
So it's more baffling that with this movie, it's just, with him as the grizzled, hardened detective does not work. Him, Chris Rock in that role.
Yeah.
Or the way he portrays it just doesn't.
And I feel like it could have.
Yeah, I'm not saying like his look, it couldn't. But I mean his delivery and everything, because he's trying to lean so hard into that, you know, that weary, grizzled, you know, every delivery is like so understated to be. But it's like you just don't come off that way.
Yeah, like if I were Chris Rock, I think he probably should have played it more like, his humor is his defense mechanism. He's still the same jaded bastard, but he uses humor,
dark humor to
cover it, you know. But I don't know.
This is just
somebody hires me for this stuff.
To Matt's point, we're 9 movies into this, and I've said before, I think there's a world where you can get back to making those slasher flicks, right? Like, there's a reason Friday the 13th or how the Halloween movie, for example, is a great example of. It was like a $10 million budget.
Right.
And it made over $100 million.
Are you talking about the new one?
The new one.
The new one.
Okay.
Even the
Rob Zombie one had a small budget and still made. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a world where you can make these movies on a, I'm not going to say a shoestring budget, but minimal.
You can minimize risk.
$10 million tops, and you can keep going, and they'll always make money.
But here's the difference, though, real quick. So to your point, all those movies eventually leaned into what they were trying to do.
What do you mean?
Friday the 13th started leaning into the absurdity of the kills, the humor, the ridiculousness. Halloween, when Rob Zombie did it, it was gore and rock and roll, and just he leaned into that
Mickey
thing.
Mickey Dolenz.
There you go. And then when the
Halloween
new,
Zone.
And then when the new Halloween came out, it was a sequel to the first.
It goes back to the tone,
and it was scary, and they took it seriously. So with these movies, they've jigsawed it up for 8 movies, and they've done the same crap over and over and over again, from my understanding. It's like the same exact movie. And then with this one, they come out with posters with a different color scheme, and they look more like 7 than they do a Saw movie, right? Yeah. All the posters before were white with some body parts around them.
Yeah, that's true.
This one looks like it's going to be something different, right? So, yeah, they set it around a detective, which there's been detectives in other ones, and then they end up doing the same exact formula as a Saw movie. They
hold the phone. Whoa. Yeah.
Oh, man. It's going to get real.
That's not true.
No?
This, to me, okay. So I would say that the setup of all the other Saw movies is there's a one long trap that's happening, and then you have like the sort of other plot of the people trying to find the game that's happening, which I guess you could kind of
say. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Isn't that what happens here, though?
Sort of. But this is almost more like, but you're like with the people in the trap through the whole movie.
Oh.
So there's that group of main characters, and then
this is the outside.
So now you're following the people trying to hunt it down.
I feel like, and I know that that's not the case, because... Right, Chris Rock came to them and said, "I like Saw. Let me make a Saw."
He's driving the train here. He wanted to do this. Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah.
If I didn't know that, I would have thought this wasn't a Saw movie.
And they put Saw.
And they said, "Hey, we're going to make this a Saw movie."
They Cloverfield it,
where that guy gets killed.
Yeah.
Make it a trap instead, and just sort of rewrite it. Because this is like all very focused on one character. We have like a main character,
right,
that we follow through the whole movie.
And the killings are geared around him.
Yeah, and it's, they're very, like, almost... I mean, there's, what, like, 3 traps? 4, maybe?
4, at least.
I think you get 4.
4, maybe, with the big
final one.
The ringer, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
If this was the only one that existed, if I was going to explain it to somebody, I might not necessarily say like, oh, so it's these traps, right? And like, I would be like, well, there's this cop and he has to catch a killer. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
that's where the Seven, they were trying to make it more Seven-esque, and that's it. It's the cop trying to hunt down. Just
it's like Seven meets Usual Suspects if both of those movies suck.
I do think this movie sucked.
Yeah. I think that's what Chris Rock came to them and said.
Here's my pitch. Yeah. Can we make Seven but suckier?
But he's like, no. I'm a comedian. I was joking about that.
With that Rami Malek movie. We don't want to do it again.
Like, yes.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I already blocked it out.
Yeah. And remember, like, when there was awards attention around it and then it won nothing?
Yeah. Because it was terrible.
But still, I mean, we've
this
seen terrible movies.
This is the next Seven. No,
we've
it's
seen
not.
Terrible
the,
movies before.
That's true. Yeah.
The fact that it had awards buzz at all just tells me that like somebody had
tone
a really
deaf?
Good publicist.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, it's so you're right. You are absolutely right. In at least in 1 and 2 you're focused on Cary Elwes and Danny Glover, right?
What about 3?
3 I think is another cop.
Hold on.
Right? Wait, is 3 is the cop who becomes Jigsaw going forward?
He's in 3. Yes, yeah. Right. Ha! But you don't know it until they go bum bum bum.
Yes, correct.
Bum, 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 and they're like doing all the flashbacks to him saying like, "I'm actually the killer." And then the person's like, "Whoa, wait, that's I should have known."
Kind of like this one. We're just like, "Well, I got this one figured out already."
Oh,
yeah.
Man. What?
I got it at the baby. When they're talking when the partner is on the phone, Chris Rock calls him and there's a baby crying in the background. As loud as that child is, it's like, you're not asleep. There's no kid there. Like, are you sleep training? What are you talking about? This is terrible.
I got the hint when he said, "I did this because of your dad." I'm like, well, that's a really weird reference for this young guy to mention. And then when he borrows his phone.
Right.
Yeah.
That was the, that I was did, it. I'm like, oh, you just took his phone off
but
screen?
I do think it's funny that Chris Rock is even just like, what do you mean? What do you didn't charge your phone? Like, what is wrong with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, right. What are you, the killer?
This day and age,
you're
like,
you're 24 years old. Of course you charged your phone.
Well, that's, and it's like a series of movies. Honestly, like the twists at the end of some of these are so bafflingly like crazy. Like I said, like you're like you get to the end of a movie and you're like, actually, this happened 10 years ago, and the cop is in present day, and you're like, well, hold on, what?
That's because like, they had to make 8 of these things, so the endings.
So of course you go into every one of these going like, I'm gonna find that twist, and this one they're just like. Hey, guys. Hey, we're not going to show this guy get killed, so he's...
Right. He's the one guy that you didn't hear a recording from, that you didn't see get tortured.
Yeah.
And he has all these weird hints about why he joined the force. And I mean, like, this one they just set up so early. Like,
all I can think about that first one is, like, that first one at the very end when Cary Elwes has cut his own leg off and he's crawling towards the door and then the body that's in the room
that's been there the whole
movie starts to get up and you're just like, what the f*** is going on?
That is why there are 9 of these because first one.
Okay, so at least in the second one though, they bring it back to, was her name Amanda?
That's man.
Okay. They bring it back
know.
To
Amanda
yeah.
from Becker.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But they bring it back to her who's a victim from the first one and they're the story is that like Jigs, you messed up. I gave you a chance. You messed up again. I'm putting you back in the trap. And then the big reveal at the end is that she's Jigsaw. Like she's been one. And it was just like, oh, like this is
Did
awesome.
Did you know that Dr. Gordon Cary, he ends up helping. He's a friend too.
Yes. But he comes back. Cary Elwes comes back in
7.
Not Jigsaw, but the one before Jigsaw. Mm-hmm. Yes. As like Cary Elwes comes back in 7 as Jigsaw.
Is he alive?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, did he survive that first one?
Yeah.
So you're supposed to think Jigsaw kills him at the end, right?
Yes.
But the big reveal is that he didn't. And he
pressed his stump on a hot pipe.
Ooh.
And you see it. And that's the thing. Is like, this
sounds
movie.
Like a Slayer song.
I think it was in Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Probably. Yeah. No, he does 70s rock. Like that. He doesn't go back to the current stuff.
I mean.
This is like, this and Hostel are like the two flicks that
kicked off torture porn.
Yeah. And it was like, this is all, they got rid of the slasher genre and they just went.
So I have a question about the traps. That's what the kids call them, traps.
Yeah, sure.
So,
Oh, these
think
really
is what everybody calls.
Okay, I don't know.
I don't know if that's like a
these
hip
were
term.
These were pretty lame traps. I think
That was first. My question is: Are these good compared to
no.
the other ones?
Uh-uh.
They
no,
didn't
these were
that
terrible. Because you watched them all, at least you have reference. Like yeah. these were pretty lame.
Right. Well, and the other thing is, every time one of these traps was like, you either have to, you know, like, oh, you can cut off your penis or die. Make your choice.
They give him 5 seconds,
and then they make their choice. And then they still die.
Yeah,
right. And I was
the,
like,
the one,
you know, like I know
with
your
the fingers. I was just like, he chose to tear his
right.
fingers off.
I think the problem these movies have is that you want to see them die from the trap,
right.
but you also want to see how you succeed in the trap. Right. So they have to like
do both.
Sort of show both. Yeah. And I guess right, the thing is like, oh, they all took too long. To do it,
they gave him 5 seconds. Like,
I mean, like,
that's a big decision,
right? Yeah, right.
Well, I don't mean to be judgmental. Like, if he's a serial killer, like that's his choice. But like, the lying is problematic
yeah.
for me. Like, I just feel like
there's
a bad
certain degree of like
bad
know,
example for the
yeah,
kids.
You have to have some sort of character to when
yeah.
you're doing these traps. Like, you know,
well,
I get it.
Can we also talk about the new voice?
It's not good.
That's horrible. He sounded like a little kid or something.
So here's the Tobin.
Sorry, Mr.
Tobin
Policeman,
Bell
you could have saved him.
Has a great voice.
Oh yeah.
Like his voice without the modulator is he's got a great speaking voice. So when they give him they put the modulator on him, it's super creepy and super effective,
right.
especially when you see, I remember when you see that doll for the first time.
Billy.
Thank you. Billy.
You think they would have named him Zep?
Zep is the guy in the first one that you think is doing it.
Oh, okay.
He's the one that he makes kidnap all the people.
Gotcha.
But he's actually in a trap, too.
So. And that would have been a good crosser with Zep's dead, baby. Zep's
yeah.
dead.
Zep's dead. But like,
they should use that Elvis song, Caught in a Trap.
They couldn't afford it.
That's true. They spent all their money on Chris Rock.
On Chris Rock, yeah. And Sam Jackson.
And the guy from Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, yeah. Is that who that guy
is?
Oh,
yeah.
he's the dude.
The one
yeah,
that,
yeah,
he's
you're
the
right,
one
you're
that,
right.
That
he's trying to get her out.
The boyfriend that gets her pregnant.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, wow.
But like, when Billy comes around the corner for the first time on that bike and you hear the voice, it's terrifying. Like, it's a good scene. It's a good scene. It's super creepy. But this voice here, it's almost like it's the voice that they use in Scary Movie for a joke.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
this
yes.
guy's voice was the opposite. And sometimes the juxtaposition of,
right.
like, not
totally.
Intimidating voice with a creepy situation could be really eerie.
Sure.
This time it just sounded like some high school kid, like,
hey, I want to play a game.
Yeah.
That's really good.
That's actually what it sounds like.
Yeah.
I thought that was a jerk.
Yeah. Really mean to me.
The most apoplectic, like, oh, whatever.
That took me out of it, like,
yeah.
so, because you go in from intimidating voice, and I'm glad I'm not alone. And like, I looked
no,
up,
terrible.
And I looked up online too to see like, what are people thinking? Because am I crazy? Is this awful?
This is.
And they're like that voice. What the hell?
It is interesting to see when you're looking at what people. I mean, there's either you're with it or you're not.
Right.
Like, it is split right down. This is a Zack Snyder Saw movie, like, because either you liked it or
no, that's not true. That's not
true
because it's only 90 minutes.
That's
ooh, one of my favorite things about the Saw movies.
Yes.
Every one of them, 90 minutes, you're done, you're
in and
out.
It's they figured it out.
But did this one feel really long
yes.
for 90 minutes to anyone?
I paused it once and I was like, oh,
this was
an
like an
hour left,
hour and 15 minutes before previews, and I'm watching it and I'm like,
did you go to the theater?
I'm sorry, before credits.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I haven't been in a theater so long.
We were
going to mix all this terminology up.
Yeah.
No.
We did. It's actually funny. We did. Kevin and I went back and forth. We're like, do we just want to go to the theater and watch Army of the Dead and skip this all together?
That Zack Snyder movie is 2.5 hours.
Oof.
Why?
Man, 2.5 hour zombie action movie.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I think
God.
He just has free reign now. Like,
yeah.
every movie of his gets a director's cut, and the fans are so loud that it's like now when he gets, you know, he gets the juice, he goes to Netflix and they hire him as an auteur. He gets cut. It's not going to be.
Lord.
I don't think it's going to be Army of the Director's cut. Like, you get the
he
director's
said
cut.
This is it. Like, he. I mean, I've granted. He apparently he said he's been trolling his fans the entire time. It's just like, well, you got your movie made, I guess. Like, congratulations. I don't
really
know.
It's a weird. We don't even.
But no, we'll get into that next week.
I was listening to your second Zack Snyder episode on the way over here.
Yeah.
So we can't get into it because I got a lot to say.
Oh well.
Oh wait.
Most of it is. I know, right? But sometimes you need to say it.
No,
so.
Yeah.
Thank
it,
you.
It was definitely cathartic
release,
to do it.
Wait, we could release the Bassler cut,
oh,
and
yeah.
we could just put his, I know, right, like, interspersed throughout the episode.
And then people will be like, I mean, I guess it's better, but like, why?
Can we release it in black and white?
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. We release it in like ham radio.
The equivalent of black and white with
we'll do one entirely in Morse code.
Yeah, we have to pour wax to make our own record.
Before we leave the traps, okay. I thought the finger one was okay.
But he wasn't given any time.
I think that would have been a good first trap of the movie, and then you escalate from there or something.
That's fair. Because that's kind of what that's what they would do, right? Is they would give you...
You save the good one for the end.
And they did save the good one for the end. They did.
Yeah.
Like, that's a...
But the lady with the wax and severing her spine...
Wait, when did they sever her spine?
She had to...
Like, she had the thing on her neck.
To get out of that trap, she had to push back hard enough to sever her spine.
Which means she now can't get out of the trap, because she's paralyzed.
You can't do that, right? Like, spines
aren't
just a thing.
No, you can't, Matt. You cannot
do
that.
Okay, because I was going to try.
Wait, is that how the Joker killed himself in The Dark Knight Returns?
He killed himself. That is an important distinction.
Touche.
You can't just go around, I've severed my spine now, so I guess I'm good. Like,
I feel like there would have to be some sort of surgical precision for this. And I will say this, too. I did like that his sort of motivation is different than Jigsaw's. That, like, he wants you to be punished. You're, like, going to lose something of yourself. Jigsaw, he's all over the place. But usually it's like if you get out of it, you're good. You're out of it.
You fought your demons.
And you sacrificed something, from what I'm understanding.
Not Jigsaw. Jigsaw was, like, wanting you to sort of, like, when they beat up the guy in Fight Club, the convenience store guy, and is like, now you got to live your life or we'll kill you. Like, giving you a new appreciation for life was Jigsaw's whole thing. This guy is more like, you need to be punished, so you're going to lose your fingers or lose your tongue. Or, I guess, kill yourself by breaking your neck.
So why even make this a Saw movie is the question.
I think this guy has a different motivation.
The connection's extremely loose.
I don't think this was going to be a Saw movie.
Chris Rock came.
Well, here's what I think. They want
the story to be good.
Yes.
So they will.
I mean, Die Hard. Three.
Was a different script that they repurposed into a Die Hard movie. Fourth Die Hard was written to be a Die Hard.
The fourth or the fifth?
The fourth.
The Kevin Smith one. Live Free or Die Hard. Interesting.
Which is a good movie. I like that one.
It's better than five.
Yeah. Well, good lord.
It's like watching eight songs. That's pretty good.
I think the first one was an adapt. You guys know what word I'm trying to say.
It is.
It's a book.
It's based on a book because it was originally going to be, they wanted Sinatra.
The deal was Sinatra did a movie called The Detective.
That's based on a book. Which is the John McClane character. And then he had a first refusal to reprise the character.
So in 1980,
Don Siegel direct that movie, and it was only if they could get. And then it was like, well, if you can't get Don Siegel back, I'm not gonna do it.
So there's a Sinatra movie where he plays John McClane.
He's not called John McClane, but it is the John McClane character.
But I was looking for. I want to go back and watch the 19.
I think his name is Joe Leland.
Okay,
I think
I want to go watch the 1933. John McClane.
Go back.
It's like go find the detective.
It's later.
It's later.
Go find the detective. It's a fantastic movie. Okay, like it's really good, but. So we're looking at like 1986 because that comes out in 87.
So it was, I believe it was supposed, was it Sinatra trying to get his own Dirty Harry franchise?
I don't remember.
Because they offered Sinatra Dirty Harry and then he was like,
give me that movie.
And he's like, oh, that's too much.
He passed on it.
I'm pretty sure that's how that worked.
Give me that movie where Sinatra is Dirty Harry all day.
Yeah.
Like that sounds
so iconic.
No, though. I totally get it. Yeah. I'm with you, but that would be
amazing.
Sure.
Just like we want to see the Lord Miller Solo movie. There's a lot of things you want to see.
Eric Stoltz Back to the Future.
Yeah, you just want to see that.
I've seen that from what they have. There's no audio.
Nope, but it's weird.
Well, I feel like that Snyder cut's too short for me.
You could use like 8 hours?
Give me more. What if it could become a good movie?
It could, just a better movie.
How much more do we need to make it good?
If they cut it back to probably a 2 hour movie. Maybe 145, 150.
For real, I think
it's a good movie.
The Snyder cut that I saw, if they'd kept that premise but chopped out about 2.5 hours of it.
So the whole thing?
I think it'd be pretty solid.
I liked it. I think it's, I mean, it's way better than the other one.
Yeah. And also, I mean, we're judging
it on
a curve.
But getting punched in the face is better than getting punched in the...
But like, back to Bruce Willis, head or gut.
I think,
one you want.
For the record,
don't
I think,
kink shame.
Yeah. I think Snyder Cut's good. I don't think it's just a little better. Like, I do think it's good. It's long, but I think
crazy.
It's solid.
That's
yeah.
Right?
It's,
it's like having Dan back. This is great.
Yeah. But so you, because I could totally see a world where this wasn't a Saw movie.
Yes.
They made it a Saw movie.
Yes.
And then
yes.
they go, hey, the publicity is going to be Chris Rock was way into this.
Yes.
And like that there's
you're
like
say
truth.
You
or this is the initial script is what it was. And then Chris Rock says, I want to do a Saw movie. I like this script.
Yeah. Adapt your
Can
Saw
we
movie.
Put some Saw Could stuff into here?
Could someone say, like that Jigsaw guy at some point?
Right.
Yeah, we'll throw
because
that in.
What's
his name in
the
movie?
One connection, right? Is that they say, oh, this is kind of like
what was his? What was his character's name? Tobin Bells?
John... No.
McLean.
Jigsaw.
Oh.
Jig-S-aw.
I know you haven't watched all the movies, Joe.
No,
so
I'm sorry.
I'm
but
hold
they,
it against you.
They do reference him, right?
John, like, yeah, oh, yeah. Well,
John,
yeah.
John Cryer.
It's like that guy.
Yeah.
But it is weird, too, that, like, I would say that the thing of Saw, other than the traps, is that it is just such a convoluted, like, they really go into it. I feel like if you went and saw, like, especially Saw 7... You really, and very few movies do that, right? Like sequels usually like refresh you enough.
Sure.
Seven, I really do. I think you would be going like, what is going on?
which is the one where they bring in his wife? Is that six?
She shows up in, I think, 4, and then she's more of a character in 5 and 6. But I might need to shift those a movie over or whatever. But so for this one, I expected them to do kind of a reset, right? Like we're gonna make it easier for people, but. I thought it would at least be, because they talk about like, oh, is it the cult of Jigsaw doing this? Which feels more like, could it be that?
Yeah, what is the cult of Jigsaw? Like, we thought maybe there would be other disciples doing copycat stuff, but you never see that.
And they set that up in Jigsaw. One of the red herring people, she has this warehouse full of the traps. She's made the traps from his like blueprints,
gotcha.
And there's all these people that are into it. And, right, this is just more of a connection than a guy that seems to have no, like, real, he doesn't like Jigsaw or anything.
No,
he's just sort of his.
He's like, oh, this would be a cool way to do it.
You gotta do it somehow.
He's just getting his vengeance, and Jigsaw exists, and so he decided to
do it. Well, and what would he have done if that cop tore his tongue out, got off to the side, didn't get hit by the train, and then walked away? Would he be like, oh, I don't think he'd.
Well, that is true, though. That's your point
question.
Is like they give, at least in the other movies, they give, well, in the beginning, like the first three, I guess, they give them the time, right? Like with the scene with Amanda, where we find that Amanda is kind of like the infamous, like, head trap. Like, that's her trap, where, like, if you don't get the lock off in time, it snaps your jaw open. Like, you can see her doing what she has to do to get out of that trap because she's given the amount of time. And then, but
and
by the
movies
time,
followed the victims, where this one is on the outside, so you don't get to spend that time.
Well, not
with
even
the,
that, but they give her the time to get out of the trap.
Well,
right.
Like
you have
this,
you can dig into this guy's stomach and pull out the key, or go into his eye, or whatever.
Eye is a different guy; it's the stomach.
Okay.
which I do that. And then, look, I'm not trying to go into the lore of Saw. I have a real problem with like because old Tobin, he'll always be like, "I've never killed anybody. I've given them the
choice."
Right,
like, right.
What about the guy that she had to? What was his thing? Like,
yeah,
he had cancer. He just found a cancer victim.
Well, God did that.
It's
not my fault.
I didn't make him smoke
science.
From my research, it sounds like there's some very wishy-washy traps old Jigsaw did, where it's like they really didn't.
There
have.
Are some...
one of the retcons they do in when the cop comes in, helping.
Yeah. Not
no,
Donnie
Amanda.
Wahlberg.
I'm sorry, okay. Amanda. She starts setting up. Well, they tell you later that she set up traps that you couldn't get out of. Out of like she wasn't doing it,
and that's how they get her out, right? Like, does
she gets killed? She gets
right.
But like they, I think at some point they were like, you know, you really couldn't have gotten out of this.
Yeah, right. There's one that like that's not really fair.
But that's also like a thing because I got on like the Saw subreddit.
It was bold, bold move, my friend.
And like the thing they were saying is like they try to, because people were saying plot holes about this movie. They're like, well, I think there's another guy. And people were like, man, they've done that through this whole series. They try to fix a plot hole by making bigger plot holes. Sure. Right? Solve it with something that's like, well, wait, if Amanda was there and Dr. Gordon was there and the cop from 8 and the cop from 4 and the two guys that show up with Dr. Gordon in pig masks, who are they?
Did you
I don't
just
know.
Figure out his name? Is it John Gordon?
Dr. Gordon is cuts his leg.
Carrie Ells. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Like, Gordon is his father.
Sorry, that's correct.
Yeah, that's more people than a ska band. Like, that's
it's
that's
yeah,
a lot of people.
Right. It's a real crew, and I think the cop from Jigsaw, they imply that he's been helping him like build the traps at the end. Like, well, where was this guy? What's he been doing? How come he never, you know, if there was a scene in like 5 where he walks by a man and is like, hey, what's up, taking off? That would have been good. Then I would have been like, holy shit, they're really doing this, man.
It's the director's cut.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is like, I do think that, I don't know if Lee Whannell, who was one of the writers, and James Wan had sequels in mind.
It's
think,
a horror movie.
Yeah, but like,
hang on. No, no, no. I'm throwing the bullshit flag on that. Nobody in the modern day makes a horror movie without the thought of
maybe
we'll get to
maybe.
Make
that's
more
fair.
Horror.
That's
movies.
Fair.
Like, it does seem like they really concentrated the on their model. Their idea and their script for that first one. Yeah. To where like, sure, they leave it open, but. I think what he's trying to say, though, is that first one's solid because they were clever. It was unique.
I remember getting really good reviews of people saying it's really gross and the gore's over the top, but it's really well done. I mean, I do remember that, but it was still just, I mean, Hostel came out not too long after, and I'm just like, I don't think I want to see any of these things.
Yeah, I tapped out of Hostel when like the gal cuts her own eyeball off, and I was like,
Hostel is more gross than Saw.
That's Eli Roth, man.
Hostel was like really what pushed it. Like Saw was gross, but then the torture porn stuff really kicked off when Hostel came out. Then there were a bunch of like copycat movies, and then another Hostel, right?
There's
like
two Hostels, and then Eli Roth did Cabin Fever.
Hostel, Legend of Curly's Gold.
Correct. Yeah. That is, yeah.
I did actually end up seeing Hostel years later. I don't know
why. It's not a good movie.
I was oddly turned on. Is
okay.
That what, no, I'm just,
nothing odd about it, man. Yeah.
No, I remember thinking that it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Like now,
that's
that
fair.
So
okay,
built up
I get that.
Head.
I get that.
But it was still just kind of.
That was that's one of turned my stomach when she cuts her eyeball. I was like, nope, I don't like this movie. This is not fun for me.
What's weird about this movie, so going into like this film specifically and the people behind it, so Jigsaw was really bad, right? Is my understanding.
I mean, he is a serial killer.
No. The
you
movie,
know,
the
there's
film.
A loose moral that you can look at it. It's not black and white.
In the rankings, Jigsaw was not like a smash.
He's no Dexter.
I would say that Jigsaw was probably a step above like 7.
Okay.
So it was
kind of starting to bring it back.
They came out every year.
You're
since
right.
The first
they
one
did.
Until 7. 7 was the last one that came out year after year. Then they took some time.
Was
and
it
then
supposed
8.
To be the final? Was that the one that's called the final chapter?
No, that's Friday the 13th, part 4.
No, mm-hmm. But didn't.
It's Saw 3D, and Saw then 3D. Later it saw something like
final,
that. Yeah.
So they gave it some time. So Jigsaw was kind of supposed to be the soft reboot. Same universe,
yes,
but
yeah, right.
Let's do this again. So what's interesting, so the two writers, Josh Stolberg and Pete Goldfinger, wrote Jigsaw and wrote this. So this movie,
I believe it's pronounced Goldfinger.
Ah, sorry,
I was trying to think of a good one, but yeah, well done.
So they wrote Jigsaw. They bring them back to write this, and then they bring in Darren Lynn Bozeman, who did 2, 3, and 4, I believe.
So these guys have a pedigree with this franchise.
But here's the thing, right? So the Saw movies after 1 and 2, for the most part, are considered as getting worse and worse, and they're not good. And then they bring in the director of, 2, fine, but 3 and 4, which did not get better. And then Jigsaw, which still didn't save the franchise because we went all these years before they tried to bring it back. So this movie seemed like it was a fresh take. It looked more like 7. It's detectives versus just this focusing on the traps and stuff. And then they bring in all the old Saw people. They should have, I think, really given it a fresh start.
What I've always liked about the Friday the 13th franchise and the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise is nobody ever comes back for a second one, right? So Friday
each one, that's why they're so different.
They're so different, right? Because you've got Joe Zito comes in and does one. Steve Miner does one. You've got Sean Cunningham. So you've got like all these different people that are taking on.
Because like when he goes to Manhattan, it is not the movie I just watched minutes before. Because I watched
it is
in
a
order.
Very different movie.
I binged them all. And then I'm like, what?
He was fighting Carrie. 5 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
He's on a boat.
They tried to do that, and then they're just like, you can't call her that. And they're like, all right, I'll call her
Sherry.
Denise, I guess. That's fine. But yeah, like, that's, they're all different, right? So, I mean, Wes Craven has come back and has done, I think he did The First Nightmare, and he did
New Nightmare, which is like, arguably not,
it's not
the
in the
same
very different world
continuity. Well, but, it's not the same continuity.
So. Right, but he comes back and comes back to the character. So in this one, Halloween, same deal, right? Like, John Carpenter has done one of them. He
but
hasn't
what,
come back.
With the loose connections to Jigsaw, why did they
didn't,
even set it in the
Carpenter
same timeline?
The second one?
No, that was Rick Rosenthal.
Oh, I guess he just produced it?
Yes.
Okay. But they could have rebooted this thing
yeah.
and started fresh, but yet they set it in the same timeline with only a mention of Jigsaw. That's so stupid to try to reinvigorate the franchise.
It's really a missed opportunity because I was honestly, when I heard they were doing this, I was like, oh, that sounds like that could be cool. And I figured if they were bringing in Chris Rock, he's a big name. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not, you know, I mean, can Chris Rock necessarily open a movie? No. But
I think that he can. Given the right movie.
What's the movie?
Yeah.
And it's that's the
like
question,
a,
though. He's
like
never,
a stunt casting thing, too, right? If right, being right. like, oh, I want to see how this comedian
totally I,
handles
right.
this.
But for the, for a franchise with this kind of budget, he's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
So, you know, I'm like,
he's your kind of, Donald Pleasance.
They're kind of moneyballing it. And so I'm like, okay, that could, that I'm like, okay, like, I like where their head's at, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they did
the bed.
Yes.
Like, that's the only, obviously, there is a tone to this movie that they are going for,
right?
And given the current political climate, they are hammering home nothing in general.
Go into it.
but they totally cheapened out, right? So what they do, so in today's political climate, if you're going to make a movie about police officers and the climate, what do you think you might do? You're going to make it about dirty cops that we've seen for 50 years or as long as movies have existed? They cheapened out. It should have been about race. They made it about dirty cops.
Yeah.
That's the total.
I see what you're saying.
Well, and it's still, right? It's like, ooh, just try to think of the movie title and then the actor title. Neither one came to me. Serpico, right?
Yeah.
It's not like police. I mean, they're doing things too, like citizens in the movie, but it has a different vibe to it. Like, it's cops versus cop, sort of.
Yeah.
So there's no, it doesn't, to me, seem to have any sort of like social thing to say other than like it would be bad if there were dirty cops, right?
Right.
This like everybody agrees.
Yeah, of course.
We all agree.
This movie is not saying anything.
No.
Because
no.
I think that's fine too, except when you start saying like, we're gonna say something, guys.
Right.
And then you like
don't
do it.
Say
it's like,
right.
Wow.
That's
okay.
Right. So,
I mean, think about the climax of this film where it's, you know, they basically they put Samuel L. Jackson in this kind of puppet contraption,
which is the most Jigsaw trap.
And then
the
cops barge in and they put a gun in his hand and they're forced to shoot him.
So he didn't kill him. Technically, the cops did. Like, that's the most clever of the
movie. Yeah, but like, but think of your reaction to that scene that I described, which is not at all.
Right.
Right. You're just like, whatever, that just occurred. Okay. But then think of your reaction to in Get Out. When the finally get out of that house and the police lights come on, like it was like I remember seeing that in the movie theater, and it was you could feel every person in the theater be like
gripping your seat.
Like,
you don't know what's coming.
Like for everybody that even the people that like talk about Thin Blue Line and all that, they were just like, no way these cops don't kill them.
Yeah,
like that you could feel the air get sucked out of the theater. We're like. Black guy covered in blood with a gun. This cop shoots them.
That's Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, totally.
Isn't there a second ending, though? There is an ending.
Yeah, there's a different ending where they do get shot.
Where he does get shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, Jordan Peele filmed it twice.
Where they don't get out. Yeah.
No, that's exactly right. Ben, you are rooting for Ben from the jump.
And he
is the hero in a movie in 1969?
68, something like that,
where you don't have black leads.
Because that was a movie talking about race. They picked something they wanted to say, and he said it.
I don't know if it was. I mean, Romero had never really said it was about race. Like, he met Ben.
That's a movie.
I think it turns that way, yes. As that movie is progressing.
You don't
and
think
then,
with that Dawn of the Dead being about consumerism.
Guys, it's about zombies.
I do think that when. I don't know as much as I think George Romero. He's kind of a one trick pony. I'm sorry. It's kind of the way it is. I don't know if he knew what he was doing at the time. right? Mm. I don't know if
it's hard to make that ending and not think it's about race when they I think gunned him down like they would a zombie.
It's a case of serendipity where you've got the Hicks living in this small town shooting your African-American
hero. You think
hero.
They lucked into it.
I think it happens, and then all of a sudden you see, like, George Romero sees it happening in front of him. I mean, he tells a story, like, when we finished that movie, we threw it in the back of a trunk, we get in the car, and Martin Luther King is shot. Like, they're riding in a car after filming this movie, and now you've got this whole different different context of this movie.
Well, please direct all hate mail to Joe.
Which is the story of this goddamn podcast.
All right, so back to this one. Okay, yeah.
I know.
I'm sorry. So it's real easy to breeze through because, one, it's a short movie. Two, not a lot happens. I mean, so the whole thing is that there's dirty cops. So that's what they've set this movie to revolve around is dirty cops.
And Chris Rock is the one non-dirty cop.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's the son of the captain, and even the captain.
Oh, I think he's the chief, right?
Okay, so you know the terminology. The head of the police.
He's the boss cop.
He's the boss.
He's
guy.
The chief. Yeah.
Okay. So his dad, Samuel Jackson, the character played by Samuel Jackson.
Not
I don't
actually
confuse
Sam
this.
Jackson.
That would be interesting, actually. If his So
Sam Jackson went to Marvel and said, "Look, is this going on my picture deal? Because this is all I've been doing recently, and I just need to know."
So his dad is a dirty cop himself, and he actually was leading the charge but he was actually coordinating dirty cops to go around the city, kill people that had witnessed them being dirty cops. Like, he was in charge of this whole thing. Now, Chris Rock doesn't know this.
I got to tell you, I didn't know any of that. I must have tuned out at one point.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't miss that he put order 60,
or
whatever the order was.
88? No.
Yeah. Samuel Jackson. Yeah, exactly. He was the one in the trap. His purpose for that was because he actually was the head of the dirty cops.
And so he picks Chris Rock because he saw Chris Rock turn on a dirty cop. So he's the only cop he'll trust. Right. So he's trying to make him be his partner.
But in the movie, all the cops are dirty. Like, it's not even like he's like the killer is not just like
tough because
guessing here.
You are only like. In the other ones, you're rooting for Cary Elwes. You're kind of rooting for Lee Whannell. You're rooting for Danny Glover. You're invested in all these characters. Where in this one, you're just like, oh, everybody's bad.
But it's also so bad.
They're so bad.
Murderers.
Right. Yeah, it's the worst of the worst.
It is ridiculous for you to paint an entire police force. Like, this movie's commentary on police is that, oh, yeah, they're all dirty.
Yeah.
Which is just a ridiculous
notion.
When
we only meet three of them.
And it is I think some of the fun of the other Jigsaw movies is that they're people who made mistakes or this sort of morally like, ooh, do they deserve this?
Yeah.
And of course, I don't think you should murder a murderer, but in movie world.
Right. You can see
the
justification.
It's very easy. It's very like, that's how movies work.
It's like bad guys fighting bad guys. The only reason why you root for the lesser bad guy is because he's taking up bad guys.
Yeah.
We've talked about that with mob movies, right? We're like, you're the bad guys, but you're like,
movie-wise, you can either say, well, that he didn't deserve that, or like, yeah, well, you know, it was justified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Yeah. But yeah, this is
not one of those.
It doesn't do a good job of doing the thing that Saw does. Because it's all about, like, well, what would I cut my leg off? Would I do this? And it doesn't do a good job of, like, putting you in the position of that person. Because I can say, like, ooh, I've done a bad thing. Maybe not as bad as Dr. Gordon or whatever. But, like, I don't know. It's just very hard to relate to, like, I murdered a witness.
Yeah, that should be very hard to relate to.
And now, should this person... Because I don't look at it like, what would I do if I was in that trap? I look at it like, dang, I'll rip that guy's tongue out.
Right. No, and that's the thing. So in movie logic, as we just talked about, all those people, you're like, well, they can't be redeemed.
No,
like,
they're not. The only one I thought was like somewhat redeemable is the captain. Is the gal who cuts her own spine.
But she was coordinating order.
You missed the thing.
But you don't understand. She was just as bad. She was working
Samuel Jackson's like right-hand person.
Man.
But they just say that, which is like another movie thing, right? Yeah. Like, you can't... Maybe with Sam Jackson, you can get away with like, this is the twist. But then they go, and she was bad too.
Yeah.
She was helping.
That's true. We don't see her doing the stuff that some of the others get in flashbacks.
Okay. But she gets, and that's the gal that gets the hot wax poured on her face. Again,
she didn't sever her spine.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes,
no,
yes.
She didn't sever her spine fast enough. I mean, yes. That's the thing, too. Like you said earlier, they all do the thing that they're supposed to do.
And then die.
So this movie really isn't that moral dilemma that Matt talked about where it's like, well, can you, you know, get redemption by doing this other thing? This movie is choose your death.
Well, it's all
you're going to die one way or the other with these.
What I remember about the second one is that they were all stuck in that house and they had some sickness or something, and each one had
were
to
they
like
down
did they
the
get
sickness?
Down with it.
They were down with the sickness. That was from Dawn of the Dead. Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead.
They were down with the sickness.
That's right. Which is a different story for you.
Yes,
altogether.
That's the title of my divorce memoir. I had because Breaking Dawn was already taken.
But like
that was the prequel, though.
Yeah,
Amanda Fall was a drug addict, and she falls into like a vat of needles.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Well, a guy. Sorry.
No. Yes. What we think is initially
a guy throws her in.
That's borrow my glasses to push up, Matt.
But like, and then Beverly Mitchell, I think, is in that one, and she like has to put her hand like into a you know, and she had tried to commit suicide or.
That sounds very.
But like, so they're.
I would think like these traps have a lot less like menace if you're already suicidal.
But that's the thing is in the second one, you have to learn to face your fear to get out of this thing alive, right?
And appreciate your life.
And appreciate your life. Where in this one, you're just like,
there's none of that.
I'm going to tear your fingers off.
You shouldn't have fingers.
I'm going to tear your tongue out. I'm going to pour wax on your face.
So the whole plot of the movie
not
is just
shaming.
You focus on like these four dirty cops that are in the department. Everyone hates Chris Rock because he turned in a dirty cop, so they call him a rat and a snitch and all this stuff. So he's a lone wolf. He gets a partner that's this really young guy who's the handmaiden's dude or whatever, you know, whatever his character is. And they get partnered up, and this guy's like, "Oh, I always wanted to be a cop because of your dad." And you know, there's just really weird vibes coming from him because it's obvious he ends up being the not Jigsaw guy in this movie. But you see all these dirty cops get into their own traps, so these unfair ones we talked about, and they, you know, get there after they're dead. So they keep finding these dead bodies, and they only really show you the trap in flashbacks, right? So you spend so much time in the other movies like that I've seen where it's about the traps and all that. Well, this one's just like, well, they're dead in the flashback. Here's them doing this
doing
unfair trap.
Stupid thing. Doing the unfair trap.
The suspense of the trap is gone.
Yeah,
there's no, that's exactly right.
That's a great point.
Like
it's
in that like, first one, you're there and it is so stressful and suspenseful and you lose all that. This is flashbacks. So you don't even get the good traps and you don't get to spend time with them. But Chris Rock is trying to figure out, well, what the hell is going on here? Like halfway through the movie, he gets a note that his partner, the new guy, is dead. He's the only one you don't see.
don't hear
his like recording. Hello, mister.
And then of course,
Detective.
The body that they find, they're like, oh, we skinned it.
Oh, it can't be skinned, so there's no discernible anything. But he keeps sending him these packages,
there's his tattoo with the name Charlie.
Right, he sent him something wrapped in skin, and he could see the same tattoo. And
somebody was like, is that skin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
We're in a sauna.
I love movies, man. We need to say it, guys. Put that in the, just to make sure.
Just so everybody understands, that's human skin.
Is that skin with your partner's tattoo?
As a matter of fact, it is corporal exposition.
So Sam Jackson's in this for a song and a dance. Like, it's
because he was off filming The Hitman's Bodyguard's Wife.
Yeah.
He was
but
like,
I mean,
I'm
but
on
like,
set
if
for
you
a
think
days.
This movie is a Chris Rock and Sam
oh,
Jackson
right.
Yeah, right,
movie.
Yeah, right.
This is a Chris Rock movie where Sam Jackson
spends 10 minutes wandering around an empty warehouse by himself.
Sam Jackson visits him, Chris Rock, at his apartment. You see a flashback of him, Sam Jackson, and up, you know, as like the angry police chief. And okay, fine. Like he was good for what he does.
And then the rest of it is Sam Jackson not answering the phone when Chris Rock calls.
And then you get him as like a marionette.
And then at the end, he's strung up in that.
But he says, mother.
Of course he does.
He says his thing. He says his thing.
He has
fun.
To.
We got him. Yeah. So
he hasn't been able to say it in like 55 Marvel movies. So
So, I mean, that's it. So they get to the very end.
Until they hire Zack Snyder.
Oh, God.
Don't put that out there. So they get to
that into the universe, please.
They get that to the end. Sam Jackson is a marionette, only held up. He's held up by these cables, but he's draining blood out of his body.
Why?
To slowly give him a chance to die, but if he saves him in time, he'll have enough blood to live.
But he did save him.
Because the traps are unfair. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's rigged because... So he's hanging up there.
It's Rigsaw.
Yeah, that's right.
Getting too old for this.
Yeah. He is.
And Danny Glover is
in the first one.
Boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom.
So he's hanging
hold
up.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. that was really good. Like bringing that around like that was quite Rigsaw all the way.
Should I have been recording this?
Yeah,
that
probably.
Was good. I wish we got that.
Well, and if you're a Saw movie, straight to credits. Yeah. There is no falling action.
That's the thing is like when you get to the end is you do get the theme. It's all we've talked about it before, like in Creed, where you get where they've earned the Rocky theme and you get it for like 3 seconds.
When they finally give you the Rocky theme in Creed,
you are with it.
So satisfying.
You are with it. And this one, they give it to you at the Saw theme at the end. You're just like, oh.
Hello, right. Zep.
Hello, Zep. Sorry. We went over this. I'm sorry. You're right.
Please mention it. By
yeah. Me. And then they get, it's the same exact thing at the end of the first one when Tobin Bell stands up and Cary Elwes is like crawling towards the door and he slams the door shut, right?
Yeah.
This is the exact same ending where the door slams shut.
But so going back real quick though, so the blood is draining and then you see he's like, hey, Zeke. Zeke is the Chris Rock character. And it, guess what? It's his young partner who we thought was skinned with the tattoo and all that stuff. You know, I've never had a kid. So we saw a flashback.
Of course he didn't.
So we saw the thing is, the twisteroo on this one is we see a flashback earlier in the movie of why Zeke turned in the dirty cop. Well, the dirty cop went.
Well, I'm just laughing at like that whole scene where the witness is like the cop that gets his fingers torn off is like, so you saw the guy that did? And the guy's like, yeah. The witness is like, yeah, I saw who did. Are you going to testify? Yeah, I'm going to testify. Boom. And shoots him. It's like where Chris Rock comes up and he's like, the witness pulled a gun.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't think this through, did I?
So we see that flashback, and that's why Zeke is the lone wolf and doesn't partner. He thinks everyone's dirty cops, all that stuff. So then we see the flashback again when the partner shows up, and it's like, I was that kid. So you see the same scene, and the kid is hiding in a bedroom, and Chris Rock gives him the finger. Now, you're familiar with this type of terminology. I watched a video that you did, and I know you're an expert with shushing.
Yeah.
Matt has a very in-depth analysis on this, so you need to go to his YouTube channel and watch this. But did he give him the appropriate shush? It was the...
There seemed to be no hidden symbolism in that shush. It was a standard, normal shush. Okay.
Because I was like, maybe Matt read into it, like he saw something we didn't, but...
It was a standard, normal shush.
Yes. So he gives him the shush to the little kid. So now this little kid grows up, goes to the academy, best in his class, just, you know, hoping that it would all work out.
I was going to say,
the same department.
Fill in the gap for me.
Right.
Between that and becoming Chris Rock's partner.
Yes. The amount of things that you would have to get perfectly right to go to the academy, get stationed to that force, get partnered with the
in all fairness, he
get promoted to homicide detective.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
In all fairness,
all before 25,
he's gonna be on this the right force. The question is, how do I get to the right homicide unit in the right district of the part of the city that Chris Rock is the detective in?
He already killed the first guy. Right?
Before he made partner, yeah.
So that guy's dead. Chris Rock does this undercover thing without telling the police, which I'm almost positive would get him
fired.
That was crazy.
Yeah. No, I mean, I remember Officer Axel Foley did that, and everything worked out fine. Yeah.
So then, she gets mad. She's
the captain.
Captain, yes.
Ah, there it is.
Or maybe lieutenant. She's a higher up.
I trusted you.
She's definitely
assistant boss.
Assistant boss.
He's either lieutenant or captain. It's a female. She's a chief.
Okay.
I think it's all
right.
I'm not going to say it, but
we usually let Tom say things.
She gets mad at Zeke and is like, "Now you're going to have a partner," and like all of that had to. What if he didn't do that undercover thing?
This is a prequel to Lethal Weapon.
But I mean, that's the thing. So we let. I mean, in better movies. Movie logic.
You can
movie
let
logic.
Things go.
Stuff happens. But the fact that this is not a better movie and it worked out like that,
people always are, you know, when you dislike a bad movie and they'll be like, you just got to turn your brain off.
Yeah.
And I feel like a turn your brain off movie has to do the work for you.
Yes.
Like, because this movie has these glaring, like, wait a second. Yeah. Like, I'm not doing that. They're making it so obvious that this doesn't work that I can't turn my brain. I can't stop thinking about how that doesn't make sense.
Turning your brain off is fine if the logic makes sense in the world that you're...
Yeah, like turning your brain is fine like if you're voting.
Yes, right.
Well, for some people.
I want that sticker. But right, like this is a movie where you can't because you're too busy thinking about. And they try, like, later in the movie, partner goes, "Do you know how hard it was to become your right. to make this happen?"
Oh, well, it was hard, so okay, that explains
I
it.
I guess, right.
The chances were slim. We were like, "This can't happen." Well, it was hard. Oh, well, so like he struggled.
I made it happen. Yeah, yeah. I pulled the right strings, and here I am.
Like in people talk about the Dark Knight Returns. How did Batman get back to Gotham City? Oh. And that's one where I'm like, I don't know, but he did yeah. it. I mean, we could watch.
But
it.
He's Batman; that he can.
He
do
figured
that.
It out. Like, I don't yeah. need. I'm yeah. sure
it's not a Zack Snyder's Batman. You don't need another 45 minutes of yes. him taking right. the A train.
That I can yeah. turn my brain off and not worry about. Yes. The movie did it for me. I don't have.
He's
to think
got
about
the
it.
Resources. He did.
Yeah, yeah, but this one just kept. I kept being like, well, how did. Well,
it's
yeah.
also about quantity, right? Like, they start to really pile up in this movie.
Right, yes.
There's not, like, with that instance of the Batman one, there's kind of, like, one thing that you ask, where this is just, they just keep, yeah. they're it's like Kohl's coupons. They just keep stacking them, you know?
It's like
well,
a CVS receipt.
Well, I got to spend three to get the 10 off, and then, well, yeah. now I'm going to spend another.
But now I've got all these Kohl's bucks.
I
got
to spend them. Now I'm going to.
You know what would be cool? You know, if I was making this movie, it would have yeah. been really good. I think it would have been cool. I think the aesthetic they should have gone for was, like, really clean, modern. Like, all the traps.
Oh, interesting.
Should have looked like IKEA or something, or just like smooth edged. They'd still kill you or whatever.
No,
but
no,
just
I
to,
get,
really like twist it.
That is true
on,
because
on its
those
head.
Because 1 through 8 are dirty, grimy,
right.
gross
yeah.
movies.
That's and a since great, this had nothing to do with Saw, right? mentioning Jigsaw,
I
why
mean,
not go for
but
it?
But if you're gonna have this weird, they got the weird voice. Like,
and you got the spiral. Like, the spiral is kind of.
Oh, yes,
in.
We forgot. They mentioned Jigsaw, and there is a Jigsaw logo in the movie. I apologize for saying this had nothing to do with Saw. It's there.
Just flip it more, right? Like, do yeah. more of a weird. I don't know. I wish they would have done. Because it's like it can't decide, in a sense.
Totally.
Like,
which is why I think it's two different scripts.
Is this going to be a clean reboot, or is this going to be a Saw movie? But the end of the movie, for those not watching this movie, which you probably
don't.
But so Samuel Jackson's hanging there, his blood's draining, and the young partner says, "Hey, Zeke, you're going to team up with me. If you want to save your dad, you can save him, but we got to go clean up all the dirty cops." So he wants to partner and actually them both do this kind of crap. So Zeke, of course, is like, "Yeah, whatever, get my dad down." So the dad goes down, and then the police start showing up. You know, that's like the time limit that they're under, and the police show up, and then
so what happens is
what
happens is the door has been shut at this mm-hmm. point,
yeah,
and the cops start, because they have blow torches, start cutting their way through the door, and because they're cutting their way through the door, that re-engages
yeah.
the trap,
like,
for Sam Jackson.
It's a wire or something.
There's a wire something. Yeah, and so severed. Like when the door, and so now he's starting to like raise back up, you and the lights go out, so he can't see anything except for Sam Jackson, who is backlit kind of.
Yeah.
And he like you know, the cops come in, they're like, show me your hands, and he raises his hand, and did he have a gun, or was
yeah,
it just like,
shot
like
put a shot to his,
okay
yeah.
I was trying to think if it was like actually in his hand, or if they were going for the statement where it's like he didn't even have
no,
a gun.
No, this was purely,
it like shoots out like a Wolverine claw or something.
Yeah, it like flips up like
okay.
a metal
and
device.
Then of
was,
course
yeah.
the SWAT team unloads onto Sam Jackson and kills him in the yeah. process, and then we see not Jigsaw like give
Sneak
the
off.
Old salute and just walk away.
He does the shush.
Oh, he
does, oh, he does the shush. You're right.
The callback.
This is another of a like turn your brain off. And I can't turn my brain off. How his plan worked, right?
Right.
Like, and we're supposed to leave this going like, wow, now Chris Rock's gonna have to help that guy. He's just gonna go.
Oh no!
It was
no,
that
Chris,
guy.
No! Chris Rock is effed because he has been left with all of the. This guy's dead. This cop is dead. So now the cops show up.
What
Chris,
cop?
The killer has died.
Yeah, but they have the body.
No, they don't.
The
they
killer
have
the
other
died.
Guy.
No, they have. So they have the guy, the dude who is Jigsaw in this movie.
Yes,
is legally dead.
Right.
Right? So he
oh.
just gets away scot free.
But when
if he can escape a place surrounded by cops,
and
by going
given
out
the logic
it.
Of this movie,
that.
He
I'll
gets away.
But when Zeke goes. No, that's the. It's a different guy. Yeah,
but he's a dirty cop. He's a.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, they already don't like right. him.
They already don't like him. So now you've set up Chris Rock to be set up for all of
I
this.
I suppose I can.
But you also
go.
Have to believe that, what, Chris Rock killed his own father?
It would be weird
he
to put evidence
kill his
on him.
Father.
I'm sure he has alibis. Remember all those other crimes that happened and he wasn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm just saying.
This movie, okay, I missed that because it's awful. So I didn't catch up on. I didn't catch on that. So that's horrible.
Uh-huh,
but
uh-huh.
I see what you're saying now. And
well,
like,
and let me ask you though.
Yes.
Do you think the movie is saying that, or do you think you're
I'm doing that for the movie? I'm doing that for the movie.
Because I think at the end of the movie, we're supposed to be going, oh, no, Chris Rock's going to have to help him in the next one. That's going to be
the
thing.
But he didn't save his
dad,
so what's his motivation to help him?
I don't know. I mean, seriously, like, what would you say we're supposed to be left with at the end of this? Because I feel very strongly that we're supposed to walk out of there going, wow, now Chris Rock's going to have to move. And then I don't really know.
I in my head, it was just he has to deal with playing some role in his dad's death.
Yeah. Okay. Like the guy is going to keep on doing his shenanigans, and Chris Rock now has to live with his dad's dead, and he couldn't save him, and like, I don't know.
But it's like, it's also kind of weird because the Jigsaw premise has always been like, you did something wrong, and so now you have to make this choice.
Right, Chris Rock has done nothing wrong.
Chris Rock has done nothing wrong.
And he killed his dad anyway. It was it was rigged.
So the partnership, that's off the table?
I think so.
Like, they didn't get off
because
on a
good
foot.
Does he have over him? He didn't save the dad. He rigged it against him and made the dad die anyway. Yeah. I think Chris Rock just has to now somehow explain himself out of the situation. And
Chris Rock is in jail because they framed him for all the murders. That's what it is.
Well, when the next book of Saw comes out.
Chapter 2.
You know, honestly,
though,
what would be kind of interesting if they did is
if they made a Saw 10 from the book of Spiral.
That would have been amazing. But if they do, if they kind of take the idea that they wanted to do with Halloween at Halloween 3 and like, okay, Michael Myers is done. We're just going to center these movies
around
the holiday of Halloween.
But that doesn't work.
What doesn't work?
I mean, I know Season of the Witch is like an underground indie love child.
I'm
but
just
like,
saying, like, the idea.
They brought him back for a reason. Absolutely. You have to have your.
No, I'm saying you can. The Book of Saw, right? Is you can you can center these movies around.
With Saw, I think you can do it.
So
I just meant.
So you're saying we go to a different place, another person that is a fan of Jigsaw.
And then you just. Or a fan of Jigsaw, this cult of Jig, you know.
Cult
of Jigsaw.
If they can do it with,
if they can do it with
the
Chucky,
cult of your Jig.
Yeah. If they can do it with Chucky, they can do it with Jigsaw. Like, it's not that, you know.
Well.
It's a terrible movie.
It's a terrible movie.
Yeah, it was real bad.
Like, I loved it. Breath of fresh air, man.
Oh, hey. That's my line.
Oh.
He really is trying to take over for Joe.
Oh, man. He's been doing some research. So, anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett. And I am doing a guest spot on the aforementioned Four is a Crowd podcast.
How about that?
Where I get to actually play a character in a scripted show.
How about that? And Matt, where can they find you and all your stuff?
Matt F. Bosler everywhere. Matt F. Probably sounds better to say at, right?
Yeah, that's
so. If you say Matt F. Bosler everywhere, people don't know where at. But if you go at Matt F. Bosler.
Now they know.
Now they know.
Awesome.
And it's everywhere. Everywhere. Everything. I'm on everything, man.
And then you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And, of course, don't forget our Patreon, Patreon.com/Real Spoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content and you help us out and we like you a little extra. So, anyway, that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, I guess we will tackle Army of the Dead. Is that the plan?
That's the plan.
No way I'm getting out of that.
No thanks, guys.
So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Aaron kills Crispy.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things.
Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.